Everybody else, go ahead and turn to John chapter 13. John chapter 13. We started a couple weeks ago talking about love and not being comfortable in love. Now, let me fix something or dig a hole deeper, one or the other. I don't know. I've talked about love handles the past couple of weeks. And listen, in your marriage, physically, if you want to develop love handles, I'm not saying don't do it. Get fat and sassy. I don't care. I mean, fall in love and get some love handles. That's fine. I'm just saying, emotionally, we don't need love handles. We don't need to settle for what we think love is. And definitely not in the spiritual sense. We don't need to settle and get comfortable in the love that we share with others and the love that we feel from Christ and the love that we give to others. Well, in any of that, we don't need to develop the comfort that love handles often shows that we have. But listen, in your marriage, you want to gain a little bit of weight, that's okay. I'm okay with that. I'm not saying don't. I say that because I have. So I can't preach against something that I've done myself, right? I can't do that. But I struggle in being comfortable in love. And so in my marriage, in my ministry, in my friendships, in people I see on the street, I can't be comfortable when it comes to showing love to those people. And we've learned that the past couple of weeks. In 1 Corinthians 13, we talked about the basis of love. And then last week, we talked about Jacob and used him and his life and how he thought about love and what we gained from that as well. And today we go back to the idea of love, but base it on a command that comes straight from the words of Jesus. In John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35, it says this, Jesus talking, "I give you a new command, love one another. Just as I have loved you, you are also to love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." Did you see what he said at the very beginning? I give you a new command. It wasn't a suggestion. This is not a good idea. This is Jesus giving his followers a command. And when we're commanded something, especially by Jesus, but when you're commanded something, that ought to dominate that part of your life. If you're at work and a boss comes up, he might not say, "And I give you a new command. You should focus on this better." But no, but your boss is going to come up and he or she's going to come up and they're going to say, "Hey, listen, you've been struggling in this area. I need you to focus more right here, okay? We can't have these mistakes. I need you to focus more right here." What are you going to do? In that part of your life, you probably should focus more. It's not going to be good. You're going to be looking for another boss to tell you to focus, right? That's what's going to happen. And so whether they say it's a command or not, when we are commanded something, it ought to become a dominant characteristic in our life if we want to be better. And when love is that command, and when love dominates, comfort doesn't dominate anymore, and complacency doesn't dominate. And our marriages are stronger, and our friendships are stronger, and our church families are stronger. And that only happens when that command of love dominates our life. How can we let love become the dominant characteristic of our lives? How can we allow love to be the command that it is, that we show it out in our lives? Well, I think John in chapter 13 tells us through the words of Jesus. I think the first thing we have to do is we have to make love a priority. Love has got to be a priority in our lives. If you're commanded something, then it means it better be a priority. If I command Slayton not to drive as fast as he's been driving, that ought to be a priority in his life. Or those keys are going to be a priority, right? That's what's going to happen. And the only reason I know that's going to happen is because it happened to me at his age, okay? I understand what it means to make things a priority. And just in case, listen, y'all are smart people. Y'all are intelligent people. But I think it's important sometimes to define what we're talking about. A priority, the definition of a priority, is a thing treated as more important than another. That's a simple definition of a priority. One thing that's treated as more important than another. And love has to be a priority in our lives. You know why? Because in verse 34, he says, I give you a new command, love one another. He commands that love be something that comes out of our lives. And you would think, well, John just recorded Jesus' words there, and that might be the only time that came up. You'd be wrong if you thought that. Because in 1 John, where John goes and writes, after Jesus has already been gone, and John is writing letters to different people in different churches in different areas to try to help them in their new walk with Christ. John says this in 1 John chapter 3, for this is the message you've heard from the beginning. In other words, you've heard this before. You know where they heard it from? Jesus in John chapter 13. We should love one another. It's not something John just came up with. It's not something he made up. He heard it from the words of Jesus. This is a command. In other words, he's saying, you heard it from Jesus. Make love a priority. I'm reminding you that you've already heard that. We've got to make love this priority in our lives. Now, how do we know if love is a priority or not? Pretty simple there too. The things you and I spend time on are the things that are important to us. The choices that we make show the things that are priorities in our lives. And one of the things we love about God is that He gives us freedom to make choices. He does. Choices with our life, choices with our salvation, choices with where we go to church, choices with the people we talk to. All of those things He gives us freedom to make choices in it, and God has allowed us freedom in our priorities as well. But we have to understand that just because you and I make a choice that might look like a good thing to other people, it doesn't mean that we're making love that top priority. We read this in week one, but 1 Corinthians 13:3 says, and if I donate all my goods to feed the poor, that sounds like a good thing, doesn't it? Yeah. Or if I give my body in order to boast, you put your body on the line for somebody. Sounds like a good thing, doesn't it? But I don't have love, I gain nothing. So we can do all these things that look good, but we can still do them without love. I can go and buy a meal for somebody that shows up at the church and says, I don't have any money, I need something to eat, and I can take them and get them a meal. But if I'm grumbling the whole time and mad the whole time and I'm not doing it out of love, have I fulfilled the command of Jesus? No, I've not. Is love a priority in my life? No, it's not if I've done it like that. You might say, well, my wife has complained that I work too much and I'm always gone. She wants to go on a trip, so fine, I'm going to take her on a trip. We'll go. We'll get it out of the way. We'll do whatever she wants. I'll act like it's fun, but I'm really not going to have fun. And as soon as we get back home, I'm going to go back to work. That might look like a good thing, and you might think your spouse appreciates that, but I can tell you, your spouse will not appreciate that. Why? Because you didn't do it with love as the priority. You didn't. Here's the difference in that. I'm going to do this. I'm going to make my wife happy. I don't like it, but I'm going to do it. Or, you know what? My wife was right. I do need to take some time off. I do need to not come home so late. I do need to not spend so many weekends doing other things. I do need to show my wife more love. So you know what? I'm gonna do something for her. And I'm gonna try to make love a priority and show her that she is my priority and that I love her and that's my priority. And listen, I know different times of the year and different seasons of life are different. It doesn't always work out like that, but you can always show somebody that they are a priority to you by the way that you love them. You can do good, but it doesn't always equal love. So how do we make love that priority? Well, he tells us in verse 34, just as I have loved you, you must also love one another. You want to make love a priority? Love other people. Now, easy, isn't it? That's so simple. No, it's not simple. That's a pretty tall task, actually. Just like God, just like Jesus has loved us, we also ought to love each other. In Matthew, Jesus said something else about it. Chapter 22, starting in verse 37. Jesus says, they asked him, God, what's the most important command? What's the most important command? And he says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the greatest and most important command. He says, the second's like it, love your neighbor as yourself. Love God with everything you have. And if that's not enough for you to get it, I'm going to give you the second part of it, Jesus said. Go ahead and love everybody just like you love yourself. Love as a priority is loving with everything we have. And when you love with everything you have, there's not really an agenda for yourself. Now, I'm not saying that you don't take time for yourself. You do need time for yourself. You do need time. You know what I did Friday? I woke up a little later than I usually do during the week. I smoked some cheese on my smoker. I watched some TV. I don't even remember if I ate lunch or not. I don't know. I took a nap in the afternoon. Went to a basketball game that night. That was my Friday, and it felt good. And I didn't do a stinking thing. I saw Tim at the game, and the first thing I told him, I didn't do a stinking thing today. Not a thing. So you need those times for yourself. But when love is a priority, every day's not about you, and every decision's not about you, and every thought's not about you. Every thought, every response, every way you serve people ought to be passed through the filter of love. And that filter of love asks questions like, am I doing this to love others? Or am I doing this to build myself up? And when you filter everything through that, love will start to become a priority. The second thing we do is that we have to know the importance of love. If we're going to make love a dominant characteristic in our lives, we have to know how important love is. I told you that making love a priority was important because it was a command. You know why making love important is? It's because it's a command. Verse 34 again, he says, this is a new command I give you. You say, well, you've already used that for the first one. You can't use that for the second one. Yes, I can, because that's how important love is, and that's how important knowing the commands of Jesus are. Everything falls back on how we love. Right after Jesus told them the first two greatest commandments, which was love God with everything you have and love other people, he says this in verse 40 of Matthew 22. All of the law and the prophets, everything important that's ever been said spiritually in life, depend on these two commands. In other words, Jesus in Matthew was saying everything else falls back on love because that's what he's modeled for us. That's what Jesus modeled for us was love. Now, our thought process usually goes like this. If I do this, whatever this is, if I do this, then I'll be okay. If I buy this, then I'll make this other person feel better. If I obey this rule, then everything else is going to work out. When our thought should be, if I have love, everything else is going to fall into place. And you say, it can't be that easy, Justin. It is that easy. You know why? Because that's what God commanded us. So it has to be that easy because that's what he's commanded us to do. Romans 13:10 says, love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. You know what that means? It means that love fulfills all other duties in life. Love completes all the laws that we have. Love is the culmination of every command that's ever been given to us. Name one thing that isn't covered by love. Let's think about some of the Ten Commandments. Tells us not to lie. You say, well, that has nothing to do with love, Justin. Well, if you love somebody, you're not going to lie to them, right? So it does have something to do with love. What about don't steal? Well, if you love somebody, you're not going to steal from them, right? So if love dominates your life, then you don't have to worry about stealing. Adultery, don't have to worry about it if you love somebody. Coveting, murder, honoring your parents, taking God's name in vain, making idols something above God in your life. Taking the Sabbath day seriously, all those Ten Commandments even are driven by love. They're fixed. All that stuff is fixed. You don't have to worry about any of that stuff if you just have love. You have to know the importance of love. The third thing is that we have to live out the nature of love. Look in verse 35. He says, By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Your real nature is always seen by how you live out your life. Whatever is inside of you, in Matthew, Jesus said, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Whatever is inside of you is going to come out. Whatever is in there is going to be shown in how you live. At some point, it's going to come out. Your true nature is going to be seen. You say, well, I was at a basketball game. That was a bad call, Justin. You don't understand. No, I understand. Well, you know, that person pulled out in front of me, and I might have told them they were number one, but I didn't quite use my index finger to do that. No, I understand. I get it. Your true nature is coming out. You're saying, well, Justin, you don't ever do anything bad? No, I do too. My true nature comes out sometimes too. You know what our true nature is? Sinners. Doesn't that make you feel good? We've talked about that the past few weeks. You and I have a sin problem. And you know what fixes that? Love. The love of Jesus fixed it because he went to a cross for you. And the love that we give to others fixes our sin problem, because when we choose to love somebody, you and I cannot sin to that person. Now, we don't always choose to love. That's why we have a sin problem. We don't always choose that. But you and I have to live out that nature of love. Jesus didn't say that everybody will know you're my disciples if you go out and stand on the street corner and yell and tell everybody they're going to hell. He didn't say that. He didn't say, if you'll get online and buy the new Christian t-shirt that came out, then people will know you're my disciples. He didn't say that, did he? He didn't say, now if you will wear this fancy Jesus jewelry, or get a Jesus tattoo, or put a Jesus fish on your car, then people will know you're my disciples. He did not say that. He didn't say, if you'll put a verse on your Facebook page every day, then people will know that you're my disciple. If you'll put some inspirational quote on Facebook, then people will know. If you'll take a picture on Instagram and make sure the lighting's just right, and you've got your Bible here and some random Bible study book you found here that you don't even do, and a cup of coffee right here. You don't think people really do that, do you? Yeah, they do. You put a cup of coffee right here, and you take a picture of it and put it on Instagram. Then people will know that you're my disciple. It's funny, he didn't say any of that stuff, did he? He didn't say any of that stuff. He said, by this, everyone will know that you're my disciples if you love one another. Jesus said, people will know by how we love. That's the nature of love. And it's not just love, because the world would tell you that same thing. If you'll just love everybody, it'll all be okay. But the world doesn't believe in love grounded in the truth of Scripture. There's truth in here that by love we have to share with people. The fact that they're sinners. The world doesn't want to hear they're a sinner. But I don't love you if I don't tell you that you have a sin problem that needs to be fixed by our Savior Jesus. There's a problem there. The nature of love is always grounded in the truth of Scripture. You know ways Jesus showed us this? One way that Jesus showed us this type of live in the nature of love is he was out one day, middle of the day, he sees this well, he tells the disciples to go into town, try to find something to eat. Well, he goes and sits by this well. Well, about that time, this woman walks up. She had been married 5 times. The guy she's with right now is not even her husband. She's just living with a guy. And do you know what Jesus does with her? He meets her. He just meets her. And he just talks to her. And he just loves on her. He didn't get the town together once he found out she was a five-time adulterer and a live-in with another guy now, and she's got this horrible life. He didn't get the town together and hold a march against divorce and adultery. What did he do? He loved her. He shared good news with her, is what he did. He shared the truth with her out of love. When Matthew was called as a disciple, he left a tax collector booth. He was very wealthy, had a very stable job. Left his tax collector booth, and either that night or shortly thereafter he was called, he had this big banquet, big old party, and he invited Jesus. He said, I want you to share with my friends who you are, and I want them to know. You've changed my life. I want you to change their life. And you know what happened? Right outside the house, there were church people who got fired up because Jesus wasn't hanging around the right kind of people. Church people wanted to cause a stir, more or less, kind of protesting in the street outside because they're talking to his disciples, asking questions. They actually said this in Luke 5. So the Pharisees and the scribes were complaining to his disciples. Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners? Jesus replied to them, it's not those who are healthy that need a doctor. Or really, the real way to read that is, it's not those who perceive they're healthy who need a doctor, but those who are sick. I've not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Jesus lived out the nature of love. People knew who he was by the way he lived that out in his life. That woman at the well, her life was changed. She went and told everybody about it and brought all these people from the town back to meet Jesus because of what he had said. Matthew had his life changed so much by the love that Jesus had for him and the way that he showed it, that he invited Jesus along with all of his tax collector and sinner friends. By the way, we all have sinner friends. We don't all have tax collector friends, maybe, but we've all got sinner friends, and our friends have sinner friends. That's us, by the way. We all have those people. They all need to hear about Jesus. They all need to know the love of Jesus. And Jesus is not here in human form today, so you know how people see the love of Jesus? Through his church, through his followers, through his disciples. That's how they see that love, by the way we live it out. But, all this is good, all this is great. But like we said earlier, there's freedom. He allows us to have the freedom to choose, Jesus does. So we have to know that love is a choice. Look back in verse 35 again. He says, by this everyone will know that you're my disciples. And there's a funny little word in there. If you love one another. If you love one another. Did you know you have the choice of whether you want to love somebody or not? You have the absolute choice whether you want to love somebody or not. The easiest people in the world to love, you've got a choice to love them or not. The hardest people in the world to love, you've got a choice to love them or not. You say you love Jesus? That's good. Show it by loving other people. Don't tell me you love Jesus. Don't sing songs really loud and think that that's going to mean you love Jesus. Don't take those Instagram pictures of your Bible and a cup of coffee to make me think you love Jesus. Show me. Show your neighbor you love Jesus. Show your coworker you love Jesus. Show your spouse you love Jesus. Why isn't this a new command to love God? Why isn't the new command, he says it's a new command to love others, but why isn't it a new command to love God? Because he talks about loving God. We read it in Matthew. He says it other places in Scripture, Jesus does, about how we ought to love God. You know why it's not a new command that he gives us here, or why it is a new command to love others? Because if we love others, and you know why he doesn't say anything about loving God here? Because if we love others, we're loving God. I've heard people say this before, the way you love others is the way you love God. Now that gets scary, because I don't always love people real well. I don't always love Lindsay real well. I don't always love church members real well. I don't always love people in the community real well. I slip up a bunch. So the way I love other people shows my love for God. Sometimes I don't look like I love God that much. But let me prove that to you. If we love others, we love God. If I'm not putting myself in the place of God, but if you love my family, love them well, I feel love towards me. You're the same way. If somebody loves your family and they love them well, they take care of them, you feel love because of that. If you love my kids, whether they're easy to love or hard to love, if you love my kids, you're showing love to Lindsay and I. And if I love your kids, I'm showing love to you as well. If we love others, it translates into the fact that we love God. But that choice of love brings a cost too. Sometimes when we have to love, that means it gets our hands a little dirty. We have to work a little bit to love people. It's not always clean. Sometimes love goes out along a limb for people. Sometimes love sees past who somebody is now to who God wants them to be. And love's not always accepted whenever you give it, and that is costly. And acts of love, although sometimes really, really costly, guess what? True acts of love are rarely forgotten. When you really love somebody, whether they express that they realize you love them or whether they accept that love at that moment, true acts of love are rarely forgotten. I talked to a person this week after something had happened, and I tried to correct something that happened. And I saw this person leaving the place we were at, and I stopped and I talked to him. And I said, you know, I said, I told you that because I love you. And I said, you might not appreciate it now, but if nobody else was going to tell you what I told you, you needed to hear it. And maybe one day you'll realize that. Happened on Tuesday. On Friday, that person came up to me and apologized and said, I shouldn't have done what I did. I appreciate what you did for me. And it doesn't always happen like that. It doesn't always happen that soon either. But those acts of love that you give, where you truly love someone, and it's costly sometimes, rarely are they just forgotten. And I can prove that through what Jesus did for us. The most costly act of love ever done for you was not when your spouse looked past your imperfections, or when your parent didn't discipline you like you thought they should, or whatever, when your boss gave you an extra chance. Those are not the most costly loves that have ever been given for you. The most costly act of love, the most ultimate gift ever given to you, was when Jesus came and he died on a cross for you. John 3:16 says, God loved the world in this way. He gave his one and only Son, that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. That's the greatest act of love that's ever been given for you. In our whole life, we live to give that kind of love. You'll never give your love so that somebody else will have eternal life. You'll never give your life for that. You'll never be able to be in the place of Jesus. But man, you can love people like he did. Up until that point, you can love people like he did. And when that love has come in and changed our hearts, that's the kind of love that ought to come out. And maybe you don't know that love today. Maybe you've never known that love of Jesus. Maybe you've heard about it a bunch. Maybe a friend's told you. Maybe you've heard it in church before. And you've just always been like, I got it on my own. I'll take care of it on my own. I know a better way. I'm into this kind of belief, or I'm into that kind of belief, or I've gone to church my whole life. Whatever excuse you use. you've not accepted the love that Jesus has for you, you don't know real love. You can accept that ultimate love that Jesus gave today. If you don't know that love, you need to come down here when we sing this final song. I'll show you in the Bible what it means to be saved, what it means to start a brand new life with Jesus, how you can know that love and accept that love and live in that love that He's given you. If you're unsure about coming down, grab somebody, they'll walk with you. You come down here. I'll show you what it means to give your life to Jesus. You can accept the love that Jesus has for you as your own today. And then if you do know that love, I know something else you can do today. You can live out that kind of love today. Wherever you go to eat after this, live out that kind of love. Whoever pulls out in front of you today, live out that kind of love. Whatever needs you see around you, live out that kind of love. Whatever that person tomorrow morning at work does to get on your nerves, live out the kind of love that Jesus lived. And it's never simple, and it's never easy, and there's not a magic pill that makes it all work. But the more you try it, the more you try to live that love out, the more you purposefully live that love out, the more you'll be able to do it. It's kind of like practicing medicine, Dr. Hinton. You just practice. You just practice your whole life, which kind of scares me about doctors because they're always just practicing. Always just practicing. Practicing medicine. We're just practicing. We're just trying to get it right. Well, that's what you're doing with love. You're just practicing love, man. You're just trying to get it right. You can live out that love today. Maybe you need to come down and pray some of that stuff out. Maybe you're like, yeah, I could live out that love today, but man, I put some barriers here and I've not done that well. I've not lived out love well. I need to come pray some stuff out. Man, this will be wide open down here. You can come pray stuff out if you need to. Leave that junk at these steps down here. Follow Jesus today if you need to. Let's pray. Lord, I love you. I don't love you good enough. And I don't always love people good enough. I don't always love my wife good enough, or my kids good enough, or my church family good enough. But Jesus, you do. And you don't give up on me. You don't give up on us. Lord, you're just always putting yourself out there, showing us how to love, and hoping that we'll follow on soon. So, Lord, we want to follow you today. We want to love like you loved. Those difficult people that are difficult to us, we want to love them. Those people that society looks at and kind of pushes aside, we want to love them. Those old sinners that everybody looks down on, which we're the same, we're just sinners, we want to love them, Jesus. Help us to do that. And Lord, I can't leave this place without asking you to move in our hearts and move in the heart of somebody today, Jesus, maybe that doesn't know you. Lord, we have the capacity of love because of your love for us. Whether we believe in you or not, we have that capacity because of you. So Jesus, if there's somebody here today that just doesn't know you, never given their life to you, never turned their life over to you, I pray today would be the day that their life would be eternally changed and that they would know real love for the first time. Lord, be with us as we sing this closing song. Move in our hearts, and if we need to move our bodies to come pray or to come find out about being saved or whatever it might be, Lord, you move our bodies as well. We ask it all in your name. Amen.